Hello, and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. We're coming to you live after an Arsenal defeat in the worst manner possible. I'm here with Jimmy today. I'm Mike. Jimmy what? What does it matter?
Follow that up? You started yourself in such a bad spot. I was going to be Jimmy Holiday Season, but you can't be a cheery Holiday Season man when you start the podcast with, I'm Mike. What does it matter?
Bah humbug.
I'm doing my podcast with Eeyore. That's what it feels like.
What does it matter if it's the holidays? Nothing matters.
Lost. I'm floating down the river.
What does he say?
I guess they know I can't swim.
Yeah. The wind must know I can't swim or something like that. Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel much more angry than Eeyore, though, but just as sad, I think. Oh, my God. We got a lot to talk about, Jimmy. There's been so much soccer on. We're in the festive period now, and there's just a lot. We can't keep up with how many games there are. A podcast a week isn't enough, and I think sometimes it's just better to wait another week or so and cover two or three of them at once if you can and bang them out.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think today we're not going to get into the and we will get into specifics of the games, but I think we're going to talk more about some teams in general and where they currently are and how they're currently performing.
I'm just going to choke on a piece of granola and moan for the rest of this episode.
60 minutes. Just hopefully. I mean, we should say we're literally recording this moments after Arsenal's 2-1 defeat to Everton.
I kind of hope this tiny piece of granola that's stuck in my throat just takes my life. Small part of me hopes that. Before we get into the soccer, have you been watching Succession?
I have. I am. I'm not fully caught up. I'm halfway through last week's Kendall birthday episode.
Yeah.
It's my fucking birthday.
So good. But no spoilers for anyone. I just want to say this past Sunday's episode was phenomenal.
I've heard that. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're approaching the last.
I mean, the whole season. I mean, the show is every episode is great. Like, yeah. Again, no spoilers, but the previous one prior to this, the summit one, when they're meeting with all the different Republican candidates and everything, like that episode's amazing. That episode's so good.
They're all good. Curb also on TV. But Jimmy, I discovered a new show this week that I absolutely love and want to tell you to watch and everyone listening. It's called How To with John Wilson.
I've not heard of this.
It's phenomenal. It's, you know, Nathan Fielder, the guy who did Nathan for You. Mm-hmm. He executive produces it, and it's kind of that same awkward comedy, but it's also just excellent. John Wilson, he's like a documentarian, and he goes around New York, and every episode has kind of a different theme, and it's so good. And they're only 30-minute episodes, and there's only about 8 of them.
Okay, I'm going to put that on the list. I've been struggling with my TV, but I'm looking forward to checking it out then.
It's a great one. But anyways, Jimmy, let's just get right into it because I need to get it off my chest. I have so many angry thoughts. Let's talk about Arsenal. And I think the last time we talked about them, it was before they played Newcastle, who they beat 2-0. And then they went to Old Trafford and lost 3-2. And then they went to Goodison and lost 2-1. So, Jimmy, things were going well for Arsenal before they took their trip to Old Trafford. They were right on the cusp of top four. Things were going well. We had an unbeaten streak for a little while until we played Liverpool. And now the true Arsenal have decided to show themselves over the past few days.
Yeah, I mean, these games, I think that just the sloppiness of Arsenal has been exposed. These games were they were entertaining to me as a neutral. They were entertaining, but they were just a mess. I mean, I think you saw four teams, and I do think United, with their new manager, will start to sort themselves out now. But to see United previously and to see Everton, these are teams that have struggled mightily over the last few weeks. And these games were just perfect examples of it. The United-Arsenal game with two teams that couldn't get out of their own way.
Yep.
I mean, we had Fred take out De Gea, which led to the goal. I mean, the penalty that Odegaard gave away was one of the dumbest penalties I've seen given away in a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, there was just... And then in today, I mean, this game, Arsenal could have lost this game 4-1 if it weren't for marginal offsides calls.
And they were handed this game on a silver platter. The VAR said, here, this is yours. Take this and win. Get 3 points. And Arsenal still blew it. They didn't even get a single point. Yeah. It's really disgusting. Both of these games against United and Everton, both teams in terrible form. Absolutely terrible. Couldn't be a better time to play either of them. And they both get wins over Arsenal. I mean, this is just the single most Arsenal thing ever.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to play Arsenal? It's all the time, too. It never changes.
Yeah. I mean, and to your point, like, I watched Everton a couple weeks ago play City, and they were lifeless. They were literally a lifeless team. They defended pretty well for a half, but they offered nothing going forward. And granted, Demarai Gray got injured in that game in the first half, and he's really been their only bright spot, I would say, on the season. And he obviously was the key man in the game against Arsenal. But Everton have been they've been a nightmare. I mean, it's been a very, very poor run for them. Their last win was against Norwich on September 25th. Since then, draw, loss, 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 draw, loss, 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 and then a win today. Like,
God bless, Arsenal came to town.
It's been a terrible, terrible run, and they dominated Arsenal today.
Like, Arsenal, this is the worst game I've watched them play in a long time.
Like, Arsenal had the possession, but they had the possession, like, useless possession, not threatening possession really in any way, until the very end. They had chances at the end, which they weren't able to capitalize on.
Yeah. Do you notice a trend here that Arsenal don't play until a goal gets scored on them? Like, I don't understand what this is. And then when we score the goal, we sit back and we try and absorb pressure with the team that obviously can't do it. I know we don't want to talk about specifics of games really, but since this one is so fresh, I do want to talk about it a little bit. And I want to talk about Aubameyang as well. I guess we can start with Aubameyang and say he made a cameo towards the end of the game and missed potentially the equalizer. I mean, he has been in horrendous form, missing goals that only he and Eddie and Kedia could miss. It's fucking brutal. Yeah, and Harry Kane, I guess, could be in that company. But, like, that's one of the things where I feel for Arteta. Like, I think this week and against United, Arsenal were fortunate to be in both of those games. I mean, the opening goal that Arsenal scored, like you said, Fred stepped onto Hayes' foot and Arsenal went ahead in a game where they really weren't doing too well. And Odegaard scored a nice goal in each of those games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the amount of chances that are being missed for Arsenal. I mean, to be fair, they are creating a decent amount. Like, even today against Everton, they didn't do much, but the chances that they had were good chances. Like, Eddie missing from inside his own net, Aubameyang that close. It's just, that's where I feel for Arteta is. This team can't fucking score. It's terrible. And it's been like that all season. And I think a large part of it is just not having anyone who is a true goal scorer. Aubameyang has, like, fallen off a cliff. I don't understand it. And our backup strikers are just as bad.
And this is, you know, for Aubameyang, this is a year and a half now that this has been the case. Because last season, he was awful last season for the majority of the year. After signing, you know, his big contract and all of that went on, it just didn't work out. And I think a lot of people, ourselves included, I think thought, you know, this year he was going to bounce back to normal. And it just hasn't happened. It's going completely the other way.
Yep. And, I mean, aside from the strikers, the midfield is just terrible. I was excited to see Granit Xhaka back in the lineup because before he had gotten injured, he had played a few decent matches.
Mm-hmm.
And today it just reminds you why Granit Xhaka is so frustrating. He misses easy passes. He commits terrible fouls. You know, Thomas Partey, less so with the fouls, but my God, the guy can't make a pass 2 feet in front of him. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I really think that's fair. I mean, this is a team that, for a team that had possession, they had 60% possession this game. Kind of find it hard to believe in a way, just because it's not a controlled possession. It's heavy passes all over the field. It's the inability to build up play too, I think, is the real issue. Xhaka, Partey, I think, are similar players in a way, which is like they don't really have a true position. Like, I guess they're like more CMs than CDMs. They both want to get forward and try to attack at times, but neither one of them can really deliver a good enough pass to be that type of player, and neither one of them are strong enough defensively to really be a defensive player.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, it doesn't help that every time that Xhaka is on the field, for some reason, Arteta's favorite thing to do, drives me insane, is he drops Granit Xhaka to left and right back, like it's no one's business. Like it's a cool idea for a tactic, right? But it never works, so we got to stop doing it. It's really frustrating. Today's game is just the epitome of this Arsenal side. I mean, before this run of fixtures, I mean, they had a 10-game unbeaten run. Things were looking great. Oh, the young team, yes, they're going to have their ups and downs. Get battered by Liverpool, sure, to be expected. The United loss, this loss today, I think both are inexcusable. Both are still signs that this team has so much work to do. People now online, I mean, even over the weekend with West Ham winning against Chelsea and whatnot, you know, the Arteta out hashtag was trending. And it's just, you know, you see the success of some other managers, what they do with teams that on paper are lesser. And it makes you think, I've already stated on this podcast, I'm not going to be flip-flopping anymore between Arteta in and out. And I mean, games like today, though, and against United at Old Trafford, it's just, you see the weaknesses that just keep showing up whenever we play a team that plays against us hard, or we go into an environment that's just a little bit hostile. Like, things got loud at Everton, and then this team completely folded. And I think a lot of that is due to managerial decisions to sit back and try and absorb pressure in a game where you really shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I mean, now Arsenal's sitting seventh right now, 23 points. I mean, honestly, outside of, so there's the top three, which I think are clear of everyone else in the league. Then I would say that there's the tier of West Ham right now. And then there's the tier below that, which is probably where you put Arsenal, which is the teams that have some talented players but have been pretty much a mess. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I think that Conte now at Spurs has got them headed in the right direction. And it looks like Ralf Rangnick has already started to get United potentially headed in that direction. And again, I want to see more than one match with him in charge to say that.
Right.
But they looked far more organized than they've looked in any of the recent games. So, I mean, I think both those teams have more talent than Arsenal to begin with. And now now have far superior managers. So, I mean, Arsenal seventh might be the goal right now. I can't imagine them finishing any higher than seventh.
It's just hard because 2 weeks ago when we were talking, we were like, they're probably the front runner for top four. And it's like things change so quickly and it's so frustrating. I just, after 3-4 years of this podcast, I'm starting to get annoyed with myself that I haven't learned that, like, you know, just because they played well 3 weeks against like Burnley, Norwich and Newcastle doesn't mean that they're a good team, because I keep getting fucking fooled and it's so frustrating.
Well, can we move on then to who I think is a good team? And please, can we talk, Michael, about West Ham?
West Ham, they drive me crazy. I mean, they are, talk about an up and down team. I mean, mostly ups, to be fair. But what an incredible team they are. No matter win, lose, or draw, they go out and they battle. And they can beat anyone on any given day.
Can I tell you what I think West Ham this season are? And in a way, they were this last season, too. They are this season's Leicester City. Not Leicester City of the year when they won the league. Let me clarify.
Yep.
They are the Leicester City of the last 2 years, which is the team that will hang around top four, probably be in it for majority of the year, But at the end of the season, they will finish fifth or sixth. And the teams that have the, for lack of a better term, the more expensive, more high-profile players will eventually win out and jump them. But West Ham will be the team that on any day can beat anyone, will beat everyone throughout the season too, but will just fall just short of making top four at the end of the day.
That's a good shout. That does seem like what they are. But they're just an impressive side. I mean, they'll go out and they'll battle anyone. And
so I've watched them play City twice over the last 2 months. They knocked City out of the our pride and joy, the Carabao Cup, on penalties. And then City outlasted them 2-1 on last Sunday, not this week, the previous week, which was a true battle. Like, West Ham fought all game long and just really had the inability to score. They were perfect example of counterattacking. They looked dangerous all game long. Playing Antonio is just a nightmare. Like, how this guy has not been scooped up by one of the other teams, especially when you had team like City were looking for an attacker, Chelsea prior to Lukaku were looking for one, United were, Liverpool were looking for one prior to signing Jota, and I think they even were afterwards when they were in on Werner for a while before he went to Chelsea. Like, how no one has scooped him up, and now it's probably a little too late maybe, but like, if I look at the City team this year, if you told me you could have added Antonio to that team, like, could you imagine that difference as opposed to City's makeshift, we're going to play Riyad Mahrez, Raheem Sterling, Ferran Torres if he's still on the team at striker. Like, it's just, he's a nightmare to play against. I'm sure just like, he must drive center backs crazy playing against him. The body he did in this game, in the Chelsea game, and I don't remember who it was exactly he bodied off the ball, but he literally tossed them and then put a perfect cross in that was just a little too much for Bowen to score. It was fantastic. I mean, Jared Bowen, we've talked about before too, who's another player who, like I said, like, he's so good. He's just not like, he's missing that one thing to be great. Yep. You see it all the time. Like, he's so close to being so good, but this is, I think, the best form he's been in. He's just a threat. Declan Rice is someone who will move on. You will see Declan Rice on one of the top four teams within the next 2 years, yep, in my opinion, probably after the World Cup. You will see him there. This is just, it's a very good team. It's a fun team to watch. And I love the way they play because they're just not afraid of anyone. You can just see it. And they're not like one of the, you know, newly promoted teams that you can be like, oh, they're fearless. They're fearless, but they're fearless with talent.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. And fearlessness is not something that I'm used to watching with Arsenal. So to see it in this West Ham side, it's really incredible. I mean, they beat Chelsea 3-2 in an insane game. In the 87th minute, Masuaku with the cross shot that did Chelsea in.
And I mean, in that one thing, Michael, in that game too, they came back from 1-0 down, from 2-1 down to win that game. Like, that shows the spirit of this team.
Yeah. And I tend to agree with you, though, that they're going to be up and down. I mean, just a week or so ago, they had lost to Wolves, who had, to be fair, been on a great run. But they're going to have bumps in the road like that. I mean, they drew Brighton, and I texted you when I still thought that Arsenal were good enough to potentially be around top four like a few days ago. And I said, yes, Brighton with the draw. And you said, to be fair, Brighton draw literally everyone. Which, and no truer words have been spoken.
They have 8 draws on the season in 15 games.
It's pretty incredible.
Over half their games are draws.
Credit to them. They're just crushing it with the 1-1.
They're consistent. They are consistent.
That's a good good gambling piece of advice. Bet on Brighton to draw. You probably win over 50% of the time, which is more than you usually win with sports betting. But West Ham, they sit on 27 points, and they continue to roll. So we should talk about Chelsea, though, who, since we've last spoke, have fallen out of their top spot and have drawn against Manchester United, beat Watford 2-1, and then, as we just said, lost to West Ham. So, Jimmy, things at Chelsea over the past few weeks have looked a little bit shaky. I know that makes you happy.
It does make me happy.
Where do you think they're going to finish? Because now they're not as ironclad as they once were.
Okay, so here's, I'm going to say the thing, the fan in me, and then I'm going to say the unbiased opinion of me. With, and I'm going to talk about Chelsea, City, and Liverpool together on this.
Yep.
I want to say City will win the league, and I am very confident in City being the thing that City have done ever since Pep has been there, which is over the long haul, much like playing a game with City, like we've talked about the thousand cuts, they will bleed you out just over the long haul. Like, you are going to need to win your games, draw your, like, you need to win your games. They will find a way to win. And City are going to lose games every here and there. They've done it every season outside of like the 100-point season with Pep. They've had that bad loss. You know what I mean? They've lost to Norwich. They lost to Newcastle. Right. They always have those bad losses. But at the end of the day, they have that one bad loss and then they rip off 15 wins in a row. Like, yep. It's just what they do. The unbiased opinion is, I think Liverpool are actually the most dominant team in the league.
Yep.
So on any given day, Liverpool, the best team, like top to bottom, I think they play the best. They're the most consistent. I think Chelsea have the, they're the most frustrating to play against because like they're defensively far stronger than City and Liverpool. And I think City are close in terms of defensively, like City's defense this year has been rock solid. Really, the last 2 years, ever since Diaz came, they really solved that issue. But Chelsea play more defensive than City do, so it's harder to break them down. But the thing with Chelsea is they let teams hang around all the time. Even the games they win, they let you hang around. Like, if you think of that, like that Watford game, they scored in the, I think it's seven after the 70th minute in that game. Obviously, the United game was a draw. West Ham, they let them hang around. They had the draw with Burnley, scored late. Like, they just don't finish teams off, which is a criticism we've used against City, too. Whereas Liverpool, they'll put four past you in 2 minutes and be done with the game. Chelsea, too, I would say, too, Lukaku really hasn't been in the form he was when he first joined Chelsea. We haven't seen him look at his best recently.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of swapping of the lineup more recently, too, by Tuchel. We've seen Saul come into the team, Loftus-Cheek, Ziyech, Pulisic, players who really weren't playing that much before. Mason Mount's come back from injury, so he's regained his spot. Chelsea are so damn good, it's hard for me to say like they won't win the league after what we've seen so far this season. But I genuinely think Liverpool and City are better teams than them. I just think like over the long haul, they'll find a way to win more games.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you. I do think Liverpool are the best team. Like you said, they're the most dominant. They're the most scary to play. But I think the cracks are starting to show for Chelsea. And you just can't lose to West Ham. You can't be dropping points like they have over the past week or so.
Well, like, losing to West Ham's not that bad, but drawing Burnley, like, that's bad.
And drawing United is a bad one too. When you were in the driver's seat of that game,
yeah,
it's results like that that'll cost you. And I think there's going to be more of those. City and Liverpool, you don't see them slip up like that. You just don't. It's very rare. Like you said, City will have one of those and then rip 15 off in your face. So we're still in a 3-horse race. I don't want to count Chelsea out at all. I mean,
they're
2 points off. But I think we're going to start to see a little bit more separation after this festive period. And yeah, I think City and Liverpool will be there.
I think it truly will be a true 3-horse race to the very end. I just think, like I said, to the point, like, I think Chelsea have, and maybe this will change. If Lukaku gets hot, it changes everything. They can get him going. I really do think it'll make a difference. I will say, too, the one thing I want to point out, and, like, this came back to bite me in the ass really last year, but, like, can we talk about Kai Havertz really just not working for Chelsea? this was one of the hottest prospects there was in world football, and it just he scored the goal in the Champions League, so it's worth the money right there, I guess.
Yeah.
Won them the Champions League, but overall, he just hasn't been anywhere close to the player he was at Leverkusen.
I think the Premier League is a different beast. I mean, Timo Werner hasn't been the same player either, and they came over at about the same time and were both rated as these wonder kids from Germany. I know Timo was a little bit older, but still, I think you're just seeing how difficult it is to adapt to the Premier League. I mean, I watch Thomas Partey every week, who still hasn't adapted. So it's we have a tough league that we enjoy here, Jimmy.
This is true. This is very true. I agree with that. I do think that needs to be noted. Like, it's interesting. And I mean, you don't really hear it talked about, because that goal in the Champions League was worth the money right there, I guess.
It's true. I wonder what the consensus would be on Kai Havertz if that hadn't happened, or it wasn't him, just was someone else. But okay. Yeah. Chelsea, we talked about Liverpool and City. I mean, we can talk about City because I know you probably want to, but it feels just kind of like business as usual. They're going to keep winning every single game, always.
Well, I hope so. I mean, knock on wood. but the thing I want to talk about City is, I will keep it very short because I don't think there's any crazy thing happening, but I want to talk about Bernardo Silva. Yeah. And I said, I want to also give myself credit, because I think I said on our like preseason thing, like the biggest transfer for City was not letting him go. Was the best thing that happened to them after he looked set to go to Atletico Madrid. Like, it was Atletico Madrid refused to pay what City asked for, and they didn't get him. If they had met the valuation, I think he would have went. He, outside of Mohamed Salah, is the best player in the league. Like, he's like, this is Bernardo Silva we saw, was it at 3 years ago now at this point, where he dominated when Kevin De Bruyne was hurt and he really stepped up. He's that player, but now he's added goals to his game, which he was never really that much of a goal scorer. And he just, the energy and effort he gives, he's everywhere on the pitch. He's fearless in how he plays. And now his ability to score clutch goals, which he's done time and time again this season, he is carrying this team. Like, he is carrying this team offensively. This is a team that struggles to, they score a lot of goals, but they struggle to score goals at the same time. Like, City score a lot, and they should score so much more if they had better finishers and actually true strikers. I'm blown away by him. Watching him is one of the most enjoyable things I've seen in a long time. Just being the player, he's a very diminutive player. He's a tiny little player. He's one of the most skillful on the ball, not in terms of tricks, but just his ability to not lose the ball.
Yeah.
He could have four people around him, and he will find a way to get through them. It's beautiful. It's incredible to watch. This team is, when it's going right, it's so enjoyable because of the way that they can just interchange between all the attacking players, between Silva, Foden, Grealish, Sterling, Mahrez, Gundogan. Like, it's really a pleasure to watch. And they've done all this season with Kevin De Bruyne being in probably the worst form he's been in his entire Premier League career. So if they can get him right, and if Torres comes back and stays, which is up in the air at this point, with the form he was in prior to getting injured for both City and for Spain, I mean, I just think City will make a real threat to Liverpool. They just need to make sure they take their chances. And but I'm saying they're carried by Silva, and the shout out to João Cancelo as well, who, outside of Silva, has been the best player they've had this season. He finally looks at home at left back. If you talk about taking time to adapt to the league, he definitely took time.
Yep.
He took time to adjust to the physicality. But he makes passes and can make plays that, and there's some great passing fullbacks in the league. Thinking of Trent Alexander-Arnold, Reece James, Andy Robinson. There's some great ones, but the creativity he has, him and Trent are just, for fullbacks, both of them are just incredible with the balls that they can play.
Yeah. Yeah. Bernardo Silva scored an insane goal last week. That left footed shot from the top of the box.
Yeah.
Just insane. But yeah, right now City sit atop of the table, a point ahead of Liverpool and two ahead of Chelsea. So a lot of games coming up. I think after mid-January, we'll have a solid picture of where we're going with the top of the table. And speaking of coming up the top of the table, we have Tottenham Hotspur, who were in terrible form under Nuno and are now somehow sitting in fifth place with 25 points. To be fair, they've had a very easy schedule. They've played Leeds, Brentford, and Norwich their past three matches. Some great goals in this last one against Norwich. Lucas Moura specifically scored a stunner. But things are starting to turn around there. It helps to play those three teams on the trot.
But you can only play who's in front of you.
That is true. I won't say much more about them. And then we did talk about United a little bit when we talked about Arsenal and Chelsea. But we should say Ralf Rangnick is officially there. Ole, after his sacking, they went on under Michael Carrick to get a 1-1 draw and a 3-2 win over Arsenal. And now have won an additional game at Crystal Palace under Rangnick. So are you thinking that United are going to be stable now? Or are they going to be top four contenders? Do you even think they'll take that top four spot?
So here's what I think. I think they will be far more stable. I think they will have a style of play. I think they will probably... The thing is, though, United was already winning games that you would, in theory, say they shouldn't win. Like, they always... They had the surprise win against City, surprise wins against Liverpool in previous seasons. Like, they were already doing that, and I think they'll continue to do that. I just think they'll be more consistent against the poorer teams. If you asked me today to pick a top four, I'd put Spurs ahead of them.
Really?
Just because I trust Conte. I think of him that highly, and I think Spurs have... I don't know why. I just, when I look at Spurs, I look at Son, I look at Kane. If they could ever get Kane right, like they're in fifth with Kane in the worst form of his entire career. So if he starts bagging goals, which he's done every other year, then it really shouldn't be that difficult for them to jump. And I still think, part of me still thinks that it could blow up at United in terms of the Ronaldo being asked to press and doing all this could go in another direction. It could. The thing is, I think Ronaldo, as much as he doesn't want to do that, and we know that, he cares far more about winning and scoring goals. So if this leads to him winning and scoring goals, I think he will follow suit enough.
Yeah, I think a lot is being made of like, oh, will Cristiano Ronaldo listen to instruction? Will he do this? I mean, I feel like I'm kind of hearing it everywhere, and I know we've both had our doubts. But like, I saw him play against Arsenal, and it's just like, he can just score against anyone he wants, whenever he wants, and from nothing. And, I mean, he's just that good where I think no matter the system you put him in, sure, I think at some times he'll be a liability. Like, if you need him to press, he might not do it 100% of the time. But he's also going to score goals from impossible angles that no one else could do, and he'll pull it out of the bag for you. So I don't think there's going to be any real tension or drama at Manchester United with Ronaldo. I think they're going to get back in their form and start winning games. I think they might actually be the fourth best team in the league, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they will be better the second half of the year. They'll pull some surprise victories. There's no doubt in my mind that that'll happen.
Yeah, and speaking of surprise victories or surprise runs, we should go over to Aston Villa, a team that we both wanted to talk about. Who have now, under Steven Gerrard, started pulling out the wins and have moved up to 10th place. And just over this past weekend had beaten Leicester 2-1 in a game where they probably should have been ahead by a few more.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about them, actually, after watching City beat them. Made me want to talk about them because that game, in the first half, City dominated. Ruben Diaz scored a goal from outside the box with his weak foot, which made me hit the ceiling. And then that was followed by the Bernardo Silva volley, which then made me go through the ceiling. But in the second half, Villa came out and dominated City. Dominated them. I thought City were going to lose the game, not just blow the two. Like, it looked like it could have gone that way. Ollie Watkins scored. I thought Ollie Watkins was fantastic. Just looked like a threat all game long. I was really impressed with them that game. And I'm like, if they were playing not anyone but City, but the majority of the teams in this league, they would have won that game, no doubt.
Yeah.
They looked really, really good. And this is coming off the victory that they had in Gerrard's first game against Palace. And then to follow it up with the game against Leicester, where, to your point, they may have won 2-1, but they were far better than that. They had goal ruled out. They had a lot of chances. And this is a team with a lot of talent. Like I said, I think Watkins is really, really good. And I know you're a big fan of his. We've talked about their midfield before with McGinn and Luiz, who we both are very good. Buendia, someone we liked previous years before at Norwich, finally looks like he's fitting in. Mm-hmm. And your old boy, Michael, one of the biggest ball busters in the league, Emi Martinez, generally is one of the best goalkeepers there is in the league. Like he makes saves that I don't think anybody else in the league makes.
Bite your tongue, Aaron Ramsdale.
I know you were going to say Ramsdale, but honestly, Ramsdale's a good shout. I would say him, Ramsdale, and Mendy are the three who pull out like those ridiculous like saves. Mm-hmm. This is a very good team.
Really are.
And Gerard actually, he may be the real deal. Like he may be the real deal as a manager, because I think that team looked like a team that got us talking to at halftime that came out wanting to show something, and they did. And I think like they're gonna have a good run here. I really do think they're going to.
Yep, completely agree. I think we said it when Gerard signed on with them that was an excellent appointment. I mean, just like you said, looking down the lineup, I mean, this is an impressive team. And I think the most impressive part is that midfield. McGinn, Buendia, and Luiz. And then also Jacob Ramsey. Every time I've watched him play, 20 years old, has looked great. Robbed of a goal in this one, like you said. But he looks great. And the man, I love his name. He's marvelous. Marvelous Nakamba. he's been great too. Every time I've watched him play, I feel like.
And Konsa as well. Konsa.
Yeah, I mean, two goals in this one.
Binks is a solid pairing.
By the way, did you just discover this past weekend that Ashley Young plays for Aston Villa like I did, or did you know that?
I did know that. I think I forgot it, but I did know he went there. I knew he was there. And then when the City came play and somebody was running their mouth and I saw Ashley Young, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
I love it. But yeah, I think they're going to be good. They're another team who I think can beat anyone that they play. Love Ollie Watkins. On the opposite end, just a quick hit on Leicester City. They have been in some rough form after having a few years under Brendan Rodgers where they looked great. This past week, they lost to Villa and they drew Southampton. They currently sit in 11th place. They have a -4 goal differential. Mm-hmm. And they looked generally bad in this game against Villa. That defense is really horrific right now.
I mean, I feel for them because I think the injuries just, I mean, I know Soinichu and Evans are actually, you know, generally speaking, solid center backs. Like they've both been good for a good period of time, but I mean, to lose the players that they lost, like Fofana is, and we'll see how the injuries come back, but one of the better young defenders in Europe.
Right.
Justice was playing. Justice for all. James Justin was playing very well when Fofana originally went down last year, and he got a chance to step in. And to lose both of them, it's just tough.
Yeah.
And I do want to say too, somebody who I actually really like, and he had an incredible save at one point in this game. Not the best season for Kasper Schmeichel.
He's facing a lot of shots, though, you got to say.
No, I know. And he pulls out some crazy saves, too. He's another one. That foot save he had in this one was a very prime De Gea-esque save. He's made more errors this season, though, than I ever remember seeing from him. And granted, I mean, to your point, the defense in front of him has been very shoddy all year. This team just looks, you know... They need some type of refresh, something. I don't know what it is. They just look a bit of a mess.
Brendan Rodgers definitely tanking to get that full-time United job at the end of the season. You never know with him. Two things I do want to point out on the Leicester side, though, is your man Deka looked great for the amount of time that he was on. He's so quick, and he's just always on the ball. And then my man, Harrison Barnes, every time I watch him, phenomenal. Think he's such a great player. Would love to see him in an Arsenal kit someday.
That's the first time I've ever called him
Harvey Barnes. Harrison. Harvey Barnes. Harrison Barnes. What am I saying? Harrison Barnes is North Carolina.
I was going to say.
That's my man. March Madness 2013, baby.
I was going to say, I don't think that's the right guy.
Harrison, Harvey, you know, two loves of my life. Both get it done.
I just want to let you know that I Googled Harrison Barnes because I know, I remember who you mean. North Carolina.
He played for the Warriors for a little.
Yeah, Golden State. He's still making $23 million a year.
That's my guy.
He's going to be one of those guys who's made the most money to be the most useless for a long period of time.
Hey, that year he won the tournament for North Carolina, though. Him and Tyler Zeller, I'll never forget. I'll never forget it, baby. Anyways.
Zeller, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
No kidding. No.
Harrison Barnes has made $128 million.
God bless him. God bless him. Probably averages about 6 points a season. But anyways, Jimmy,
I feel like he's better than that. I'm guessing he's made $128 million.
Anyways, let's move on to the last team I think we're going to talk about before we get to some Twitter questions is Newcastle, who are now out of dead last. They got a win and a draw in the past week. Norwich they drew in a game they probably should have won, and then Burnley, they escaped with 3 points for the first time this season to bring them level on points. And how many outside of the relegation zone? They're only 3 points back of Watford and being out of the relegation zone. So, Jimmy, Newcastle, I think, are a very, very bad team. I am still genuinely concerned.
I don't think they're good. Let me be very clear. I in no way think they're good. But I've said it from the beginning, and this time I'm sticking to what I said. They will not go down. I think they will reinforce something in January. I don't think it's going to be a crazy signing. I think they will make some type of signing in January. I believe. I just don't believe this team's going down. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't know why I'm so confident either. I mean, I like Eddie Howe. Maybe that's why I always did. I think he will get them sorted enough to survive. I mean, I still think Norwich are locked to go down. I hope that Burnley go down.
We all hope. Fingers crossed.
I just hope they go down. And then it's a toss-up for me between Watford and Newcastle. Maybe even Southampton, who have been pretty poor. Yeah. Which would make me look right because they were my surprise pick to go down. And then they started the year on fire and I look like an idiot. So maybe they'll go down. I mean, I don't think Leeds or Palace are going to go down because they've had moments when they look good, specifically Palace. But like, they're not away from this battle yet either. And neither one of them have looked so good recently. Leeds have looked better than they've been.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I'm just concerned about their upcoming fixtures. They have Leicester, Liverpool, City, United, Everton. That's their next few matches. They're going to get hammered in all of those.
Well, I think Leicester and Everton are winnable matches. You're not going to be... I'd be shocked if they beat Liverpool. Newcastle usually gives City a hard time. They've done it in the past.
Would be interesting.
Counter-attacking teams can. But again, they got to get through that, and then they play Southampton and Watford and Leeds and Everton again. So, like, get through those games. This is the run, though. Like, we're going to know by mid-January where they are, and at that point, they'll have the ability to make signings. So, I don't think they're going down. I stand by it. They will not go down.
All right. I'm like, kind of rooting for them. I hope they stay up just to see what they can do, and maybe they'll buy Pepe off of us if they do. So fingers crossed. But anyways, let's hit a Twitter question and then let's get into some predictions. The Weekly Nutmeg podcast asked us, would Van de Beek be a good addition to Arsenal or who else beside Partey? Would Van de Beek be a good addition? I guess. I still don't think that's like the player that Arsenal are missing. Someone like Donny Van de Beek. I feel like he is the picture of mediocrity.
So I disagree with that. I think Van de Beek is actually very good, but I think Van de Beek is another, you're bringing in another CM positionless, kind of positionless player, which is not what they really need. Can I tell you what exactly they need? I don't know. I feel like for 20 years we've been talking about Arsenal needing a CDM, and I still stand by. I think they need someone like Rodri is really what they need. They need somebody who can just take the ball off the center backs, hang on to it, make the simple pass, and just be there to take it on the half turn. Like, be able to make that play. And I don't think there's anyone in the team that does that right now.
Yeah,
and
I don't think that's Donny Van de Beek. No, certainly not Van de Beek. It should be Partey. It should be Granit Xhaka. Neither one of them do that particularly well. I honestly think more so than a CDM, they need a true like center attacking midfielder who hangs behind the strikers and creates. As much as I like Martin Odegaard, he's like kind of not that. You know, like he's not like a Mesut Ozil to me in his prime was a true like center attacking midfield creator. Not that he scored a ton of goals, but it felt like he was always involved in the buildup and involved in progressing the team in some way. And I think Arsenal needs someone like that. And I mean, that's Ozil in his prime is a generational player. Mm-hmm. I think.
No, he was in his prime. Absolutely.
The closest thing to that I can think of, and not that this player is anywhere near there, but I think he would help Arsenal immensely, is someone that they were linked with, James Maddison. Yep.
Who looks back to being good again.
Right. I don't think he was ever not good. I think he was just out for a long time and then has found his form again. I think someone like that would help them a lot. Someone just with pace, energy, and can score a goal. I think that's the big thing. Someone who can score a goal. Well, we have no one that can do that.
But I think they need both. I really think the midfield needs to be completely revamped. They need a midfield. They need a number nine. Like, I think they do.
Desperately.
But, like, where Arsenal are solid, on the wings, they're very solid. If you consider Smith Rowe a winger, which is dicey.
I kind of do.
But I think at this point, I think he's kind of in the Phil Foden category of, like, he's probably, in theory, more of a 10. But he succeeds and can kind of be freer as playing on the wing.
Yep.
So I think he's been great there. I think Saka obviously is fantastic as well. So I wouldn't touch the wing. I just think I agree with you. I think they need someone who's a little more creative, can create something for people. But I still do think they need some physicality and not like Granit Xhaka physicality. Like physicality of hanging onto the ball, retaining the ball. Like I said, like Rodri right now is finally the player I think City thought we were originally getting. Like the mistakes are pretty much out of the game with him now. He looks like he's Fernandinho. Turned into Fernandinho as Fernandinho has sadly started to look his age because he was rough in the last game.
I'm just trying to think of Premier League midfielders who would kind of be that person. And the first one
back to Leicester and go with Ndidi.
Yeah, that literally what I was gonna say. That's the first one who comes to mind. And then Bissouma of last season felt like that player.
Yep, I think that's fair too. I could see that. I think even Douglas Luiz at Villa is actually a good.
Seriously,
example
that'd
of that
be
as
a
well.
Really, really good signing. Or I really like Decore.
Decore is good when he's healthy. He's a really good player when he's healthy. He's just never healthy.
That's true. Yep. He made it back for this game against Arsenal, though. Good thing. But anyways, good question. I think it's difficult. I think Arsenal desperately need midfielders that can pass the ball and play in tight spaces because that seems to be what Arteta wants to do. But I also think the number one pressing issue is we need someone who can score a damn goal. It's really getting on my nerves. But anyways, Jimmy, let's get into some predictions. And we start Friday with Brentford and Watford. Who do you have there?
This, to me, is a 1-1 draw.
I disagree. This is Claudio Ranieri. This is like a 4-2. I'll go 4-2 Brentford.
Okay.
Why not?
I like yours a lot better.
Yeah, why not? And then we have on Saturday morning, Jimmy's going to be waking up early. At 7:30 a.m., we have City and Wolves.
1-0 City. This is going to be a tough one, but I think they will win.
I'll go 2-1 City. I agree. It's going to be a difficult game. And then Arsenal and Southampton.
Arsenal are better than Southampton. They should win this game. It's not going to be easy, though. 2-1 Arsenal.
Yeah, I'll follow you on 2-1, but flip a coin. You don't know what Arsenal side you're going to get. Chelsea and Leeds.
So I want Leeds to give them a game, but I think Chelsea are 3-1 Chelsea.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere along those lines. I'll go 3-0 just to not follow you with the Leeds 1. Liverpool Villa, great game.
1-1 draw. Steven Gerrard gets a point off of his beloved Liverpool.
That's really tough. I think Liverpool are too good, though. I think 3-1, but Villa will be in it. Norwich and United.
3-0 United.
1-0 United. Boring. 1-0, but they get a win. Sunday, Brighton versus Tottenham.
It's Brighton, Michael. It's Brighton.
1-1.
It's always 1-1.
I love that. 1-1. I'll follow you. And I can't wait to get my sports betting app back, which I get at the end of this month. And then I'll be betting on every draw for Brighton. Burnley and West Ham.
West Ham 2-0.
4-1 West Ham. Beat him down. Leicester and Newcastle.
1-0 Newcastle.
Ooh. I don't know. Leicester are not great, but they're not lose to West Ham. I mean, Newcastle bad. I'll go 2-1 Leicester. Palace and Everton.
No.
2-2. I think that's a draw.
I'm very low on the goals this weekend. I've noticed.
Yeah, I guess so. And then I guess we can stop there because we have a bunch of midweek matches next week. But a lot of action. Holidays coming up, and exciting stuff, unless you're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, that's a good way to leave it right there. Just it will get better, Michael. It'll get better.
Yeah, I don't know. Why don't you hit him with the plugs?
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Soccer Mostly. I guess unless you're an Everton fan and want to fight with Michael.
Yeah.
you can email us mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts are all we want for Christmas this year.
That's right. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.